it's probably best as well, James, not to mention Saka when talking about niggly injuries. I mean, a player's got to limp off. Did
Well,
he
that's
limp
how
off
bad we
last
were
night?
last night. He walked off.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. My name's James. And of course, on this COTC, we're looking forward to finding out which Chelsea and Tottenham assets we're going to be buying for the double game week that they have in game week 35. And they also both have a double game week in 37. So let's find out where we should be buying. Is it from the team that just lost 5-0 or the team that just lost 4-0? Let me introduce you to our Chelsea correspondent, Gary Mantle.
Hello. Yeah, should we do the timestamp already? It's 9 a.m. Wednesday morning, so it's less than 12 hours since I was at the Emirates, and
well,
now here I am.
I was actually going to say, were you still in the Emirates 12 hours ago? I presume you probably were. It's probably about 11 hours and 40 minutes ago or so. Was it? Did
No,
you stay to
I
the end?
stayed till the end. Yeah, I
Good.
stayed till the end.
Fuck that, mate. Because I sure as hell know that if Ricky Saunders was in the away end watching Tottenham at the Emirates and they were 5-0 down, that he'd be gone, mate. Ricky, how are you, pal?
I'm very good, thanks, mate. Yeah, very good. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you, mate. Gary, go on then. What happened last night, mate?
To be honest, I'm not even that I'm not that annoyed by it. I don't know why. You'd think I would be, but I don't feel like we saw or learn anything that we didn't already know. Arsenal were a much better team than Chelsea. We already knew that. We'd put in quite a lot on Saturday, and we didn't have anything last night, and we just got destroyed by a team that was, they're far better. They were far more up for it. It was just, it was everything. It was just an awful night, and that's it. It's the heaviest defeat that I've ever been to in person as well.
I was going to say, is have I had worse than that? But you would tell me straight away that your team won 6-1 at White Hart Lane in 1997. Yes,
that's right.
I recall that not so fondly, actually. Pochettino said before the game, it was obviously, we heard the news that Cole Palmer was ill. We didn't know definitively that he'd be out. But Pochettino said that it's time for the other players to show that this isn't Cole Palmer FC. What does that look like now?
Cole Palmer FC, but I do prefer it to Loophole FC. So Cole Palmer FC we'll go with. But yeah, if Cole Palmer had been playing last night, it's not going to change the score that much. He's not the difference between us losing 5-0 and actually getting a result.
No, but certainly you lacked an air of creativity when you did
100%.
Have moments. And actually,
or being able to hold on to the ball like in the final third, etc.
It could be easily forgotten. You looked like you were going to get steamrolled in the start. You then obviously did get steamrolled in the second half. But actually, for a large chunk of the first half, you actually played all right. But
we
you
did,
didn't overly look like you were going to create at the same time, I didn't think.
No, we don't have any other creativity, really, other than Cole Palmer. So very much from an attacking point of view, we are Cole Palmer FC. And since we can't defend, that means that we are Cole Palmer FC.
As you was in the away end, what was the reaction by people? I mean, I know a lot of people obviously went completely understandable, but you'd be able to hear, if there's anger, where's it being aimed at in a moment like that?
And that's the funny thing, that there actually wasn't that much anger. And as you said, most people had left. I think most people already knew that it wasn't much that was going to happen, but it was a lot of people just sort of shuffled out in silence. It wasn't like there wasn't anybody trying to start any booing. It wasn't anybody like getting particularly picked out. I think the only one that I heard get any particular sort of abuse or like words said against him was Mudryk. But other than that, and I think that's because a lot of people were not sold on him in general, cost quite a lot of money. Hasn't delivered much, but
yeah, I didn't think there would be anything really particularly directed at the players, because you are right. I mean, they've been incredible, and unfortunately, we'll all have to sit here and admit that. In reference to Arsenal, I meant more in terms of the ownership or the manager. Was there anything?
No, and we
last
have heard
night?
That in the past. No, and there wasn't anything like that. I think it was just a sort of almost like an acceptance. It's like, all right, yeah. I
Is
mean,
that though, because you and Arsenal, you like besties, aren't you?
No, not at all. It's because. We hate losing to them all the time. They're still in. They're still one of our most hated
Stop
clubs. They're
bloody
not our
doing
most
it then.
hated club, but I wish we could. And we didn't
Because
earlier in the season.
Ricky, you and I know, right? The Chelsea that turned up at Arsenal last night, and to repeat, we're pre-recording this Wednesday morning, he's not going to be the Chelsea that turns up against Tottenham next Thursday, is it?
It never is. It doesn't matter how bad they are. They always turn up for us every bloody time.
If it is, then that will be the end of Pochettino. If we did that at home to Tottenham next week, that would be the end of Pochettino.
That was the following question. Obviously, we're not going to come and beat you 5-0, but if we did come and beat you, what's the reaction to that going to be under that circumstance? Especially if, say, you've lost at Villa in between as well.
Yeah, he would get... He'd hear about it basically, because also it's a home game, so you've got a lot more fans there. So even when half the stadium leaves, you've still got 15,000-20,000 fans, and they are going to make their feelings known. I think as soon as that press conference came out and he said Cole Palmer's not playing and Gusto might not be playing, I think we knew last night, like, we don't have enough in our squad. And then I looked at our centre back partnership last night, it's like, this isn't going to be good.
Well, this is what we mean about throwing the towel in, because that won't be the centre-back partnership against Tottenham next Thursday.
Not a chance. It can't be. He's an absolute madman if he does. We've known for a while that those two haven't been playing that well. And in the recent games, it's been Chalobah and Thiago Silva, and they were the ones that played at Wembley. So I don't know why he would go back to these two for a crucial game. Last night, we already knew we were going to... Even 2 weeks ago, you could have told me that Palmer was fit, we were still going to lose at the Emirates. They are just a much better team than us, unfortunately. So doing it for that game is fine. I can't see him doing it even at Villa. Definitely not at home to Tottenham.
Thiago Silva's missus was tweeting again.
She loves it, doesn't she? I don't know what her point was. Like, Thiago's 39. He played on...
Yeah, I mean,
Saturday.
To be honest, it was kind of understandable that Silva didn't start on Tuesday night.
Yeah, so I don't know what she's hoping to achieve. I don't know what she thinks should have been done that wasn't done last night. She was quite popular with, like, the Chelsea fans, and I think she's kind of ruining it a little bit at the moment.
Ricky, how do you feel about Pochettino now?
I don't care, in all honesty. It's very much a meh. I was quite excited about the prospect of him coming back last season.
To us, you mean, just for clarity.
Yeah. You know, maybe a bit of nostalgia more than anything else, in all honesty, remembering the good times. And then I think it was a conversation with you or one of my other mates, possibly. But then I remembered that it wasn't all good times, and the last few months was actually pretty shit. And it was kind of a realisation that, like, if we get him, it'll be all right. If we don't, it'll be all right. I'd rather have him not have gone to Chelsea. That did annoy me at the time. But now I don't really care. He hasn't pulled up trees at Chelsea, despite having a little bit of money to play with. So, yeah, was he all that? You know, so sorry for the Poch lovers out
there.
No,
he was great for us, wasn't he? But
he
I think
great for us.
It's easily forgotten that the last 9 months was a complete car crash, which was
very
hidden by the fact we somehow,
got
let's
to the
be
Champions
honest,
League final,
fluked
yeah.
our way to a Champions League final, basically,
and I think,
on some miracle moments.
Well, I think as well, James, something that's also overlooked by some people, it all went to shit when the doctor left.
Oh, you don't need to tell me that, mate.
It was almost like if we hadn't have had Dembélé, we wouldn't have had that team. Yeah, he left and it all went to pieces. So was it Poch? Was it Dembélé? Was it a bit of the both? I don't know. It does annoy me to see him walking around in a Chelsea tracksuit, but I'm not fussed, mate. I think we've already got the better end of the deal right now, if I'm being honest. And that kind of cheers me up a little bit.
Gary, this feels like your cue to mention the stat that you mentioned to us before we started.
Yeah, so... Well, I can start at least to bring me some joy. You've had one victory at Chelsea since 1990, which was, it was Conte's second season. So that's 2017-18. Antonio Conte was in charge of Chelsea. So last time we did this podcast, me and Ricky, which amazingly was last season, and the managers were Conte and Tuchel, And it's easy to forget that that wasn't about 4 years ago.
That's
The
not
only
last
Chelsea
season.
manager, the only Chelsea manager that lost at home to Tottenham was in the Tottenham dugout. And now, this season, I'll timestamp this again. It's Wednesday morning. The game is 8 days away because you know what we're like. But currently, the only Tottenham manager that has ever won at Stamford Bridge is in charge of Chelsea. Not ever, but you know, in the last 34 years.
Yeah. Ange hasn't been to Stamford Bridge yet, though, so it matters little. You mentioned it, though, carrying serious. You said it's 8 days away. You wouldn't change, would you?
It's a bit tongue-in-cheek. No, we wouldn't. I don't think we would. They've always said there's going to be an end-of-season review, and nothing that dramatically bad has happened to say that after we've just lost five.
It's worth saying, for clarity, I know that you're very much, you don't want to change. You want to give them at least to start the next season. I think it's fair to say.
That's how I currently feel. But if we lose at home to Tottenham and we lose at home to West Ham, then I'm not going to be defending him.
Okay.
And that would like, we're in a position now where we should come at least seventh. I haven't actually checked the table because that's not really what you do after you've just been spanked 5-0, is it? But
so
I don't
true.
Think we'll come above Newcastle, but we should, maybe Man United. But if we end up finishing like 10th, 11th, then we're going to be like, have the players given up on him? Is it even worth him starting for next season? The reality is, like, taking the emotion out of it, he should be given next season as well, I think.
I don't particularly disagree with that, actually. You're 3 points behind Manchester United level on games played. You're also 3 points behind Newcastle. I agree that I would be surprised if you finished above Newcastle from this stage. United could do anything, couldn't they? They could win like five or six, or they could lose five or six. Sort of feels like that. We don't know what is going to get you into what yet. It looks like it's probably going to be sixth for Europa League. So is the target here the Conference League, therefore, Gary?
I think they still want to qualify for Europe, although then there's still issues regarding finances if we do, which I don't understand.
I have heard some speculation you wouldn't go into it if you qualified for it. What's all that about?
Well, because UEFA use FFP and we use PSR, and they're slightly different, and I don't think we'd necessarily meet the FFP.
Oh, wow.
And it's similar to AC Milan had it a couple of years ago, didn't they? It's something.
So you might
those
get
lines.
Stopped from entering, essentially. And I guess that's going to be the same for the Europa League if you qualify for that as well, right?
And I think what it would be, I don't know. I haven't looked into it enough because, I don't know, it gets a bit boring, to be honest, doesn't it? But if we did try to enter it and then got stopped, it's like it's worse than if we just chose not to enter it or something like this. I don't know. You'd have to ask someone that's into like the financials, which I'm not. And I don't understand. I don't know all of UEFA's rules. But yeah, it's no guarantee that even if we finish sixth or seventh that we'd actually even play in Europe, from what I've heard.
Okay, interesting. Ricky, I'm going to ask you a brutal question. Would you take defeat at Stamford Bridge next Thursday if it meant avoiding defeat on Sunday against Arsenal?
Yes. I don't really need to think about it too much. I dislike Arsenal more than I dislike Chelsea, so that's quite straightforward, really. And it has the added benefit of it could well, very well, stop us winning the title. So, two birds with one.
But would we accept a point over this double game week?
I think if we've got any, we don't have many hopes of Champions League left. But if we want to get Champions League, we've got to get something out of these next two games. We can't lose both. We need to get something somewhere.
But if Villa beat Chelsea Saturday and then 9 points clear, 1 point from the two, is
not
going to
cut it.
It
doesn't make any difference. Look, fifth is pretty safe, in all honesty. Fifth or sixth doesn't really matter because both will look like getting into the Europa League. So, I mean, it's not a case that we're on the beach, certainly not, but it doesn't really matter at this stage unless we go on a massive losing streak and lose all of our games and United or Newcastle somehow catch us. We're going to finish where we are pretty much.
Well, from the games left, we lost obviously heavily to Chelsea in unique circumstances. Lost 4-1, could have lost about 10-1 and yet still had our heads held fairly high afterwards.
Yeah.
But the other really difficult games we've got, i.e. against the top three, drew at the Emirates, drew at the Etihad, beat Liverpool at home, controversial circumstances, asterisks. So, I mean, from the four games there, 5 points. Then if you were to beat Burnley, Sheffield United, that's 11, get you to 71. Villa are on 66. I've said I think Villa only need 4 points from four games left. It looks difficult, doesn't it, Ricky?
It does look difficult. And one thing that the stats won't tell you, James, at the minute, this is a very different Tottenham team. We're a team pretty much on our knees just now, fitness-wise. When we went to the Emirates, we're on the crest of a wave. City, not so much. You know, we went there with four fullbacks. And Liverpool, once again, crest of a wave. We're a team, we've got niggles, we've got injuries. Maddison hasn't been the same since he come back. Son hasn't been the player that we know he is for the past month or so now. I mean, it's just everybody, it's the end of a long season, a season of change and whatever else. And I think they're mentally and physically knackered, mate. And we're not going to get the same performances against these teams this time around as what we did in the first games.
But why are there fitness issues around Tottenham? We went out of the cups early. We had no European football. I mean, we've basically got a 2-week, 15-day gap from Newcastle defeat to the Arsenal game. Why?
I think with niggly injuries, players like Maddison and Son, they get fouled an awful lot. And I think over the course of the season, you know, 10, 20 kicks to the ankles every game is going to take its toll. And I think they're just sore and not. But yeah, they're not able to run, change directions, sprints as effectively as what they were earlier in the season. By all accounts, Ange's training regime is I won't say brutal, but it's fitness heavy. You know, there's a lot of cardio work and whatever else. And we've seen teams before that, you know, they do a lot of running all season, and towards the end of the season, they start to lose their shine a little bit. And I think it's they're still adapting to the new fitness levels, to his new style of play. And I think they just ended up now being a little bit jaded. We have had a lot of injuries. So we've had players coming in, going out. They've got niggles, or, you know, players not playing together, and that takes its toll as well. It's just a mixture of things, I think, mate. But we're certainly not playing anywhere near as well as we were first 10, 15 games of the season. Not even close.
I mean, Ange spoke about rhythm being a problem. Are you not having enough games? And to counter your point about the likes of Maddison and Son getting kicked, you know, so did the likes of Saka and Odegaard, unfortunately, right? And I mean, Jesus, Gary, how good was Odegaard Tuesday night?
I didn't see him get kicked because we didn't get anyone near him.
I didn't actually see you make a tackle at all, I don't think, other than Nicholas Jackson's one. How did he escape the yellow card? Have you seen it back?
Obviously not.
It could have been red easily, mate.
Really, yeah. And I know that Cucurella loves a tackle as well. But otherwise, nobody. I didn't see anybody else putting a foot in. Alfie Gilchrist would have done because he loves it, but he couldn't get near anyone either. He was a bit out of his depth last night, unfortunately.
Nah, he's a young boy. You don't want to.
It's his debut. His first ever start for Chelsea, yeah. And it's in the Emirates against the team. We don't need to talk about that.
No, let's not talk about them much anymore.
And it's probably best as well, James, not to mention Saka when talking about niggly injuries. I mean, a player's got to limp off.
That's how bad we were last night. He walked off.
I think that's fair game, that, isn't it? Dear. Right, Ricky, are you beginning to get a bit frustrated with Ange? I don't need to clarify that you love him, it's fairly clear. But is he beginning to kind of frustrate a bit?
Yeah, it is
a little bit.
With
certain things?
Yeah, it is a little bit. He's a very stubborn man, clearly. The thing that gets me most, and I'm sure it's the same for you, it's his in-game inflexibility. He won't adapt anything to suit what's going on the pitch or very little. You know, we've got a style of play, we play it, that's it. And that was typified in the reverse fixture against Chelsea. You know, we play this high line, which I love to see, and I know that you do as well. It's fantastic on the eye. But at no point did he alter his tactics. And I tried to, as you would have expected, I got quite a bit of stick from Chelsea fans. And I tried to defend as much as I could, but even I was laughing at myself trying to defend. I was playing a high line at 4-1 down with 9 men.
But that didn't piss me off.
It didn't piss me off at the time, but
no, and it was also like, this is who we are now. Like, yeah, we're going to take, and we have said, we said it at the start of the season, it didn't really happen. We said, we'll get some slappings when you don't expect it. We've just had two very recently. I mean, it kind of sums up Tottenham that they followed the victory at Villa, by then the 3-0 at Fulham, playing for 10 minutes at West Ham and drawing and easily could have lost, and then got destroyed at Newcastle as well, despite having three quarters of the ball, basically.
Yeah.
So I think when you go to them away games, that then starts knocking at you a bit, I think, certainly from my perspective.
Well, I mean, we both went to the Villa game, and I mean, I don't remember a better away performance at all, for, well, at least for a very, very long time anyway. And then to follow that up with Fulham, it's very frustrating. I can't, you know, you can't put the blame all on Ange. You can't put the blame all on the players. I don't know what it is. Is it a mentality thing? You know, we've just done this to Villa. Fulham will be easy. I don't know. But there does seem to be an inflexibility with tactics. Subs can be quite late as well, and sometimes questionable. But I think we need to remember as well that this is his first season in a new league, and he has managed all over the world. And he's been successful, but this is by far his biggest assignment, and it's in by far the best league he's ever managed in. And I think that takes a little bit of time to get used to as well. And we might forget that a little bit. He's got no history of playing or managing in this league, and you know, you could assume he would have seen games on the TV like we did. But other than that, he's coming cold, really.
I think, in fairness to him as well, I've said this in the past, particularly in a number of home games, when you consider how Tottenham have improved in second halves in home games, actually he has made a lot of substitutions that have impacted the game positively.
Absolutely,
as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We remember the ones that he got wrong, but sometimes it's hard to remember the ones he got right. He has got a lot right. But look, I've just spent the last couple of minutes having a little bit of a mini pop. But I love this Tottenham team a hell of a lot more than I loved the one last season. You know, we have progressed and moved on, and it's only going to get better from here, I think.
Yeah, agree with that. Gary, rivalry aside, how do you view Tottenham at the moment?
I still think that next season I would want to finish above Tottenham, and I think that would be a reasonable expectation.
Ricky, how do you view Chelsea, rivalry aside, at the moment?
I'm concerned by them. Concerned for them and by them. Is it a threat? Yeah, absolutely. They've got some fantastic players that, as they, you know, they play and train more together, they're just going to get better and better and better. And I think Chelsea could be not maybe a title threat next season, but they could be, you know, there or thereabouts pushing. And yeah, look, they're going to be knocking on the door for Champions League without a doubt. There's no question about that. Worried for them. Well, I'm not worried for them, but how long can this spending go? You know, where does it end? What? I mean, you know, Gary said at the start about Chelsea may not even be allowed in a European competition because of the state of their finances. I don't ever remember that. It's not from an English team anyway. That's absolutely uncharted territory for English teams.
I mean, I don't need to tell you, Gary, that's piss poor if that does happen.
Yeah, and it's our own fault. And I wouldn't expect or ask for any sympathy from anybody. Like, the rules have been there. We have gone way over the top with our spending. There's only so many hotels that we can sell, which is two. And we've done that. So where else are we going to... I don't know how else we're going to make up the deficit.
Build another one, maybe. And then sell that. Might be the way to go. Okay, I think a lot of the guys will be waiting for the fantasy chat. So first thing, Gary.
This won't take long.
I think you might be surprised. Let's end this in 20 minutes. Cole Palmer, Gary, just illness, or have we heard anything to the contrary on that?
All I'd heard was illness, although I did hear rumours that he was playing with injury on Saturday.
He looked like he was limping in the first minute.
Yeah, and then played the rest of the game. And it was an injury as well that, like, I think, was it like a thigh injury or something that they'd said? I don't know. It was something that hadn't come up before. He does get a lot of rough treatment now. I've noticed it certainly in the last few weeks, which is obviously going to happen. If you stop Cole Palmer, you stop Chelsea. So I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if there is something. But the official word is that he's ill. But then again, Robert Sanchez was ill. and now he's in partial team training. And this happened 4 weeks ago, so who knows? But I don't know. All I can go on is that what we've been told is that Palmer is ill, which means he'll either play against, he should be at least back for Tottenham, hopefully back for Villa.
Who will you be captain FPL this week, Ricky?
Difficult one to answer because I haven't finalised my wild card yet.
I presume Cole Palmer will be in it.
Unless there is something that comes out that means he's going to be out for a couple of weeks at least, then absolutely he'll be in it, yeah, 100%.
And captain?
In all things being equal, yes. If there's a doubt about him, then I probably can't.
Okay, I'm going to sell it to the listeners and viewers like this. Cole Palmer will play against Tottenham next Thursday on one leg if he has to, and that will be enough to captain him. That's my view. Gary, do you agree or disagree with that?
I hope you're right. Well, I hope you're wrong. I hope he's got two legs, but I'm hoping that he's going to play against Tottenham because we need him to.
I hope he's got two legs after next Thursday. I hope I end up with my vice-captain, Sonny, and his 3 points or 4 points that he'll get this week, Ricky, as my captain instead. Is there a Tottenham captaincy shout here? I mean, there's enough people to see Palmer sort of yellow or orange flags going into the weekend, if that's the case, are going to, which Chelsea player instead? I think naturally we'll look at Heung-min Son, right?
Yeah, they will do. I wouldn't advise it, in all honesty. I've seen nothing from Sonny in the last month that would suggest that he's worthy of even being in my side, never mind being the captain. And I'm currently on wild card, and currently Sonny's not in my side and not in my thinking.
Wow. I mean, I've said similar, but he probably is still going to go in for me.
I've nailed down all of my players bar four, and they're the two Arsenal defensive. Do I need both or either? And they're Salah and Haaland.
Okay.
And at the minute, the trade-off for me is, do I want to get rid of Salah to bring in Son? No, probably not.
Okay, that's fairly big. All right, in that wild card then, Ricky, at the moment, how many Chelsea?
Currently two. I am trying to get my head around the thought of signing Nicholas Jackson. I don't know if I want to do that or not. Sorry. Currently three. Palmer, Gusto and Petrovic.
Double Chelsea defensive.
Yeah.
Gary, thoughts on double Chelsea defensive?
It's if you have to, but try not to.
Nobody has to.
I'm in a bit of a different situation to you, James. I've got my bench boost, so I'm looking at players that are going to have two games in 37. So that's most of the reason why I've gone down that route.
Okay, I hear that. And which Tottenham players are there at the moment?
Currently?
Yeah.
None. But
you ain't going to go with none, mate.
No, of course I'm not. Like, I did a very... I activated my wild cards as soon as I could do on Saturday. Brought in some players who I thought were going to be immediate rises, and I haven't looked at it since. I'd be very surprised if I'm not going to take Brennan Johnson with me. Richarlison, I want the punt, but I don't know if I'm brave enough for the punt because it is a punt.
So rather than going double Chelsea defensive, you could put a Tottenham defensive in because, you know, we look... Very sturdy, solid, and steady.
Our main attacking threat from defence is out. I'll be going nowhere near our defence and nowhere near our midfield. But Brennan Johnson, you know, he's class
attacking player.
But yeah,
aren't you like fourth or fifth best for goals conceded this season though, despite what everybody says about Tottenham defence?
Yeah, like, but it feels like everyone bar Arsenal has been shit. In fairness, Gary.
I would be stunned if that was a true stat. That doesn't sound like it's a true stat to me.
I wouldn't be. Well, fifth in the table, Ricky, so it's not that far-fetched, is it?
But it used to be that it was only Everton that were better, and then someone helped you out with that, didn't they? One of our better nights. So I don't know. But I know Tottenham are well up there, despite what everybody says about their defence. I think they've got... I'm not saying it's a good defence. I'm saying they've got just as much a chance of keeping a clean sheet as pretty much anybody. Which is like about 10%.
Of the teams above us, Villa have conceded more. And of the teams below us, only United have conceded less. So yeah,
There
we
you go.
are fifth best.
There
Wow.
you go.
Yeah, there's some anomalies in
It
this
doesn't
league,
feel
I
like
think.
that, but that's probably recency bias where I've just seen us, shipping goals for fun recently. So
Which is the
a
same
bit
with
of
Man
that
United.
involved, maybe.
Okay,
You wouldn't have said that
Gary.
they were fourth, would you?
Gary, are you on wild card yourself this week?
Yes, and I still have bench boost.
Okay,
37.
right. But you tell me first which Tottenham players are going in, do you think?
For me,
Yeah.
it's I've still got Porro, so it'll depend on his injury news because I bought him at 5 million, so I haven't got rid of him yet. And then it's Son and Johnson. My front eight in mine is the same as the front eight that you did in your video.
Oh wow, that's quite interesting. I think mine might be changing. So, and which free Chelsea? There is free Chelsea, right?
So it's Palmer and Jackson, and then either. Well, this is the last one's to be confirmed. It's a defensive one. I feel like now Petrovic is probably going to keep the shirt, I think, but I still there's something niggly.
Yeah, I'll tell you what
Just
it was.
though,
It was his inability to save that shot at the near post after 4 minutes last night. I was like, oh.
yeah. But then he did all right for the rest of the
But he
game.
actually made a lot of saves.
Despite what
Conceding
happened,
five.
like you look at those finish, yeah, some of them, it's like it's not him anyway, is it? So yeah, so I know, but there is still that slight doubt. Gusto, the doubt is over the injury. Otherwise, I think he would play. The only other ones that have played consistently are Cucurella. If we went to a back three with a view to starting to play a back three, then that's quite a good way of getting Chilwell in, because I don't think he likes him as a pure left back. And we don't know what's happening with Colwill. And then Trevor Chalobah is the only other one that's played quite a lot. And then he was benched last night, which I didn't expect. So it sort of rules him out. So it's slim pickings. It's probably either Petrovic or Gusto. And
So
it will depend. If we get an update that Gusto's fit, then I
if
think it's Gusto.
Gusto's fit, money aside, is that the best defender choice?
Yeah, I think so.
If he's out, and that's confirmed that he's out, your opinion would be best choice?
Probably go Petrovic.
Okay, but from the defenders? Because I know just
Yeah,
know
from
there's a lot
the.
that are going to go Onana and Vicario by default, I think.
Yeah. See, and that's where it's like there's three little sort of mix. Because if I go Petrovic because I've got Porro, I don't want double Tottenham defence and I don't want double Chelsea defence. So, I would say that Chalobah is probably the one that's most likely to play the most games now.
I mean, the one that I'm suddenly tempted by, if for me it's clear, Gusto, is Cucurella, right? Particularly
He
if
loves a
Ben
yellow card,
Chilwell's
doesn't he?
ruled out for a while, right?
Well, that's also true. And Levi Colwill, because we did used to play him at left back as well. I think Cucurella's he was also on my mind. If Chilwell was ruled out, then I'd say that Cucurella is probably safe. And yeah, he'd be. He's. I mean, he gets booked every game, but if he's going to play, then he'll probably do what you want. And he does get forward a fair bit these days.
You don't feel like he's going to finish when he gets there, though, do you? But
No,
he might grab you an
in one of
assist or
our cup
something.
games, but yeah, exactly. But I don't feel like any of our players are going to finish when they get there, other than
I
Cole
mean,
Palmer.
reality, do you have expectation of a clean sheet in this double game week, Gary?
Certainly not. No, I don't. I was actually trying to think, do I have an expectation of a clean sheet for the rest of the season? Not sure I do, to be honest. The
Wow.
only one that one might say would have been. But so the games that we've got left, and we've got Villa, Tottenham, West Ham at home. Okay, West Ham maybe, West Ham 36 maybe, and then it's Brighton away, Forest away, and Bournemouth at home. Bournemouth at home's the last game of the season. It all goes out the window then anyway, doesn't it? So who knows what will happen.
So you're saying one clean
Essentially,
sheet from six is your prediction?
that's my prediction. Yeah, and that would be even if it's not West Ham. I think in one of these games we'll get a clean sheet. But I think in only one of these games we'll get a clean sheet. We're not a good defensive team.
Ricky, Tottenham clean sheets from the six games.
Maybe two, the end of the last two games of the season.
What, City and Sheffield United?
Oh, no, it's
You mean
Burnley and
Burnley and
Liverpool.
Sheffield United?
Obviously, we're not going to get a clean sheet against them. No, well, I don't know. We've got a very good record at home at them, in league at least. Look, Arsenal will score, Chelsea will score, City will score. Liverpool will score. So yeah, two at most, absolute most.
But none this way.
No, I can't see it, mate. I really can't.
So the Tottenham injury update. Obviously, Udogie we know is out for the season. That's confirmed. Pedro Porro, Paul O'Keefe had tweeted on Tuesday night saying he's in training, and so's Richarlison as well. So that sounds promising on the two of them. I bet you won't get 100% clarity on Friday, however. No. But if they're training now, my instinct would be they're good to participate. Under that circumstance, Porro would definitely start, wouldn't he, Ricky? It'd get risked. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
If that's the situation, who do you think plays left back?
Well, after obviously the natural choice would be Ben Davies, but after listening to what you were saying the other day about Emerson, he could do, look, he could even play Van de Ven there and play Dragosin as a centre back.
I have heard that suggested, and I think that's the option I like the least. By the way,
I'm not convinced on Radu at all. Well, I'm not, and I want to see Mickey van der Ven there because I want to see him go up and down that wing, but I don't want to see Dragosin in central defence. He hasn't convinced me in the slightest.
No, Mickey's got to play centre back the way we play, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, look, you made a very good point. Emerson is solid defensively, the best defender. Well, he was the best defender we had. Obviously, I'm going to add in, you know, Mickey in there now. But he's solid, he's dependable. I would, against teams like Arsenal, you know, they're going to batter us. I'd probably want Emerson Royal in there, in all honesty.
Yeah, it's just, for me, it's looking at the players coming up. I mean, the next three right wingers we're going to face are going to be Saka, Palmer or Madueke, depending on our Chelsea setup, and then Salah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really want that going at Ben Davies. Not that I want it going at Emerson Royal, but in those 1v1 moments defensively, I just have a little bit more faith in Emerson, frankly.
Yeah, he's better equipped to be able to deal with them. Not saying that he will deal with them, of course, before I get any comeback, but he's better equipped to deal with them.
The flip of that is, to counter that, Ange thinks about what we do with the ball way more than he does without it. And Ben Davies's distribution with the ball is fine. It's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that might be how Ange views it as way more important. So
no, I'm not going to try and tell Ange how to do his job. He knows this a lot better than I do. If he thinks that's about best up for the team, I'll go with it. It would just worry me with those three right wingers going against Ben Davies. We love the guy; he's brilliant, but he's not equipped and well enough to deal with that.
If Porro was ruled out, which one would you say to guys who wanted a Tottenham defensive player?
Nobody. You can't go, look, with even fully fit.
Yeah, but the problem is, Ricky, it's the same with pretty much all six teams who double in 37. Yeah. We're all suddenly gone, oh my God, Newcastle get two clean sheets in a row, completely forgetting how shit they'd been at the back for like 3-4 months, right?
Yeah, well, do you know what? For me, then, it goes against kind of the rules of FPL where they say never pick a centre-back, but I'd go for Van de Ven. It's in some of these games, possibly our best chances may come from set pieces. He's a big lad. He's popped up with a couple of goals already this season. He's got the potential to get you bonus points because he makes a lot of tackles and interceptions. So I'd probably go with him. I couldn't. You're not going to get any attacking returns from Emerson or Ben Davies or anybody else that plays at fullback that aren't called Ndoggie and Porro. So there's no point in going for fullbacks.
I think a lot, if Porro was ruled out, and people may do this anyway, he's just go with Big Vic in goal. Now, I think a lot are going to lean into that because of what I said about the goalkeeper situation across the six teams at double in 37. They're going to end up with like Vicario and Onana as the only two that, barring injury, will definitely play twice in 37. If you are going Vicario, kids, don't go with a second Tottenham defensive.
No, well, I've currently got Petrovic. That spot is open. Onana's my other goalkeeper with 37 in mind. If I made the switch to Vicario, that frees up a Chelsea slot, which, to be fair, I'm going to need more than I'm going to need a third Tottenham slot.
What would you say to people who want to pump Richarlison?
just bear in mind it's a punt. We don't know about his fitness. Even if he's fit, we don't know if he's going to start. He will get minutes, but they may be at the front end or the back end. He's not going to play 90, I wouldn't have thought. Certainly not for the next couple of weeks at least. So, yeah, just bearing in mind it is a punt. But because he's going to be so lowly owned, it could really pay off.
If he is fit, would you want him to start on Sunday?
Yeah.
So who would drop out?
Probably Kulusevski.
Well, he ain't been playing anywhere, has it? So it's Johnson, right?
Oh,
Maddison, Werner. 10.
You know what?
It's Werner, isn't it?
No, it's Werner or it's Son. Johnson doesn't drop out.
It's not going to be Son. I mean, I've suggested this as well. It's not going to be.
He won't do it, but on current form, he's in the frame to be dropped. You can't drop Johnson. He's been the one that's been dragging us back into games, or you know, he's been the difference maker. Werner, because of his speed, he will always create problems. Son's just been so far off it. And it will be a massive call to drop your captain and best player, but he's not there, mate. He's not with it at the moment.
I don't think Richarlison will start Sunday. I think it'll be the same front three. I think it'd be Son up front. I think it'd be Werner left. I think it'd be Johnson right. And I think we have to consider that that could change afterwards for the Chelsea game, subject to parts of what happens. And then obviously Liverpool in 36, you're less fussed about, but that's only 3 days after Chelsea. So there's a good chance you're going to get some rotation across those two games. Similar may well happen in 37 with the Burnley and Manchester City home games as well. What I would clarify is I think you and I, Ricky, are both unhappy with Heung-min Son's performances at the moment, and certainly James Maddison as well. I look at it like this, though. Could you imagine if Ange left them out and we lost?
Yeah. He's not doing it. If he's going to make a big call like that, he's got to get it spot on. Because if he misses, I mean, look, he's not going to get sacked and people aren't going to start hating him, but it's going to start raising lots and lots of questions.
He won't do it. And listen, for all the criticisms, Maddison and Son are the two best individual players in the team and most likely to win us a football match, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just out of form at the moment in reality. Gary Jackson, right? I'm going now. I saw nothing last night to change my opinion because all I've seen him do is miss big chances anyway this season, so it's no different. Talk me out of it, mate.
He's in mine. He's going to play. He's going to play all the time. He's almost certainly, now that he's avoided his bookings, he's now going to get booked probably in each of the next two games. He will probably still get chances. I think we'll still create chances. He's probably going to get fewer chances. But then again, with that said, his confidence to get in the positions doesn't seem to have suffered. So hopefully at some point, something will go in for him. I'm still going there. Like, Nkunku's not going to be fit. He can't get match fit this season. He hasn't played. He started two games for us, I think, and we've got what, six games left. There's no way for him to get up to speed. Jackson will play. If Nkunku was to start, I think he'd start both of them anyway. I think he'd have Jackson left and Nkunku centre, or the other way around, or get him to. So I don't think there's an issue with Jackson's
minutes.
There's
obviously a little bit of an expected minutes threat there. If Nkunku was back, say, for 37. But you even think under that circumstance, Jackson would just move out wide, possibly.
Yeah, I think Pochettino's happy with what Jackson does, apart from the finishing. Obviously, nobody's happy with the finishing, but I think he's been playing all right. I think he played. He actually
something
played
there, though, isn't
there? Well.
You look at the finish against Everton, which now feels like a lifetime ago. But the way he takes that goal, there's something there, isn't there?
Yeah. And he wanted to kick on from that. Then he wanted to take the penalty, obviously, to help himself kick on from that. I don't know, the game was too big for him, maybe, let's say, on Saturday. I still defend Jackson. This isn't like we've bought a guy from like someone who has scored goals and then he's come to Chelsea and stopped scoring goals. This isn't the same as when we bought Fernando Torres. We bought Torres thinking this is guaranteed goals, and it wasn't. Jackson's never shown that. And Jackson's also really inexperienced. And when we signed him, nobody knew, is he going to be the centre forward for Chelsea, or are they going to loan him out and he's one for the future? And then all of a sudden, like, Nkunku's injured and Breuer's like gone. And suddenly he's everything. And it's all on Jackson. It's like, That can't have been the intention when we bought him. If that was the intention, then I don't think it's him that we would have bought. And now, that's why I do feel a little bit sorry for him. I think he's a little bit out of his depth in that respect, and he could have done with Nkunku next to him. And I think his all-round game has been pretty good. I think Pochettino's still going to play him because I think Pochettino is happy enough with his contribution.
I'll go one further. If Cole Palmer was ruled out for a couple of weeks, I'll captain Jackson this week.
I'd struggle to captain a Chelsea player if Cole Palmer's ruled out.
Would you captain a Tottenham player?
Yeah.
Do you? I guess you would go Son. And I think that's what
I
most
guess
people
so.
would do.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do. I mean, when you were talking about that, I was thinking of Ruud Gullit when he left out Shearer and Duncan Ferguson in the derby against Sunderland and lost. It's like, you know that the things are going wrong for the manager.
Yeah.
You don't leave out your best players in the derby.
No,
Certainly
no,
not
no. He's
at either. So,
not captain.
he's going to play, exactly. And then we're going to give up chances. So, yeah, I'd be on Son and. Oh, I don't like going to a game where I've captained a player that's playing against Chelsea. But I have done it already this season.
I mean, well, I'll be at Stamford Bridge anyway and next Thursday night, mate. And I'm 99% certain Cole Palmer's going to be my captain. It won't be in my mind, mate. I hope he gets sent
No.
off. Jackson over Son for captaincy, Ricky, if that was a debate.
I probably would. I can't. And look, not saying that Jackson's been in
Because
fantastic
people are going to
form.
be listening to this thinking the three of us are delusional, you know
Yeah, but
that.
I can't captain a player who's in this form. Whether he's got two games or not, I just can't do it.
But you know his capability, Ricky, then that's it with Sonny. And we have been here before, and the light bulb goes off, and the capability and his finishing quality is undeniable, right?
Oh, absolutely. Look, he's one of the best one-on-one finishers in the league. There's no doubt about that. And if he's through on goal, you'd put your house on him to score. But he hasn't been getting those opportunities. Either hasn't been in the right positions, or he's not getting the service, whatever. But he's not. He's just not at the races at the moment. And look, my thinking on stuff is very heavily influenced by where we are in a season and where I'm in my mini league. If this was earlier in the season, then yeah, I probably would. I'd captain him. I'm chasing a guy who's like 40 points ahead of me. I don't want to be taking punts like that. I've got to be safe. So that's there's a lot of my, there's a lot of thinking like that involved as well. But yeah, it's a struggle to captain a player that's so out of form.
Brennan Johnson,
I
what
would
would you say
captain
to
him
people?
over some.
Wow. That
Really would.
confident. The thing is, though, with Sonny, the chances are, I mean, he'll certainly start twice, right? Minutes wise, you're probably looking at expected, I don't know, 140, 150 across the two games, maybe more like 160, maybe across the two. There's every chance it'll be like a 90 and a 70, maybe, for example. Johnson can't be anywhere near there on expected minutes, can he, Ricky? Or could we be? I've said that I think he's treating him how he treated Kulusevski earlier in the season. He's like, you're playing all the minutes to get physically right for the future here.
And that's what it feels like. At the start of the season, Johnson come, he would play a game and he'd be blowing out of his arse after 55 minutes. And Kulusevski was the same as well. And he's kept Johnson, he's brought him into the side. Either he's come on as an impact sub and made an impact, or he started games. The one thing for me that was actually really quite shocking was how early Son went off against Newcastle. I know that the game was done by then, but we were still looking for goals, and you take off your main goal scorer. That for me said an awful lot about Son's form and fitness and what Ange is trying to do. And I'm not going to suggest that Ange is going to drop Son or he's not going to play him, but he's not afraid to make a sacrifice if a player isn't playing well, no matter who that player is. And on his current form, I can't be certain that he's not going to get hauled off again after 60 minutes if it's not going his way. And against the teams that we've got coming up, there's going to be a lot that isn't going his way.
There are sites out there that are recommending getting James Maddison this week.
Yeah, I've heard that. I think those sites need to be closed down.
No, listen, again, same thing, right? Expected minutes will be higher, although Maddison keeps coming off between sort of 60, 70 minutes. It is worth clarifying. So you probably are sort of 130, 140 expected minutes on Madders, but he will almost certainly start twice, I should imagine. And again, you know what the capability of the player is, right?
Absolutely.
It's just at the moment, he's just struggling. I mean, he looks slower to me.
Yeah. Maybe that injury that he had was more severe than what we thought, because he hasn't been the same. He's kind of lost his zip since he come back from injury. So maybe we brought him back too soon. Maybe he's still sore.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's carrying an injury.
Yeah.
On what I'm watching.
We needed him back, and yeah, I think we've brought him back a little bit too soon. Maybe.
Yeah, could well be the case. So Johnson over Maddison for you.
Yeah.
Gary, if Palmer was out and then people want to go Jackson, they want to go a second Chelsea offensive, does Madueke become a real serious option here?
He's probably the most likely to play, certainly if Palmer wasn't playing, because he plays on like sort of inside forward right or whatever you want to call it. He plays out on the right, cuts in onto his left. I don't think anybody else that we've got really plays there. So he's going to play, and he's playing all the time at the moment. And he's probably on penalties, but who knows? If it's not Palmer, then it's probably Madueke. He's taken one and he scored it, whereas Jackson's not taken them at various points this season before Palmer became a penalty taker.
So if Palmer's out, he's taking penalties?
Madueke, I think. But, I mean, Jackson's probably going to burst through the door and start arguing with me about that as well, isn't he?
Yeah, but if Palmer's not playing, there's every chance Sterling will be on the pitch as well, right?
I can't imagine he can't do it again. I think even him, surely. Like, remember, we got another penalty that day and he walked off to the halfway line and then came back when it turned into a free kick. I think Sterling is, no. Just don't talk to me about Sterling and penalties.
Okay. All right, for clarity, Gary, if you were free Chelsea this week, assuming Palmer's fit, it's what, Palmer, Jackson and Gusto if fit, if not?
Yep. Petrovic, I think.
And Ricky, if you had to go Tottenham free.
I had to go Tottenham free. I'll say Son, because we know what he can do. Definitely Johnson. And I'll say Vicario. Go on, we'll say it. Vicario.
I think Porro will be fit, it looks like.
If Porro's fit, then yeah, it's him. If he's not, then it would be Vicario.
I think, as I said, though, I think a lot of people are going to end up with Vicario and Porro, I think.
I don't do two. For goodness sake, don't do two.
Listen, I hope that you smash it and you get loads of points. But
yeah,
don't expect them, kids. I don't think Vicario's got a double point haul since game week two, which feels remarkable, the amount of saves he has to make every week.
Well, we don't, I'm not keeping the clean sheets, mate.
Exactly that.
And for those of you that think we're negative Tottenham fans, we've just seen all this before, so we know what the script is already.
Gents, thank you both so much. Let's do predictions before we finish. Gary, Aston Villa away.
Can't see us getting anything there. And it depends. If Palmer's not playing, then probably 2-3 nil. And if he is playing, 2-3-1 to Villa.
It's good, this, isn't it? Certainly, any hope I had of relying on your team to ever do my team a favour absolutely diminished on Tuesday night. And I don't expect you to get anything at Villa Park. No, unfortunately. Ricky, the North London derby.
Oh, Jesus. Pick a number. No,
no, it's not like that, is it?
No, it's not.
I mean,
it's
it
not.
Could be, but it's not.
Well,
like that.
It could be, but it won't be. Look, I mean, they're in fine form. We're not. Sorry, Tottenham fans. 3-1 Arsenal.
It's difficult not to think they'll win, having watched them.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't see anybody beating them.
We are the most likely.
Of what they've got left,
that,
yeah,
that, that I do know at the same time, yeah. So,
but is that just the intensity of the game that's making you say that?
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna it is going to be a high octane atmosphere. You know, even if Villa win against Chelsea, if people are thinking, oh, well, Tottenham won't have nothing to play for, don't worry about that on Sunday.
Absolutely.
There'll be an atmosphere for as long as we're in the game, basically, and we'll be right up for it. Yeah, you'd think they'll win. But I'll clarify that we can beat them. If we get it right on the day and they have like sloppy moments, which they can do, particularly earlier in games, if we can keep it that high, we'll certainly give up chances, but we might create them as well.
Yeah.
We can beat them, but it's difficult to foresee it. Gary, the game next Thursday?
I'll start by saying I hope you beat them. Despite what you think that I like them, but what I hope you beat them. It's the London thing as well. You don't want to see other London teams win the title, and especially not ones that are managed by Mikel Arteta.
I really couldn't give a shit if Fulham won the title, mate. I'm absolutely fine with that.
I suppose, yeah, that situation's not come up. Next Thursday, I'm going to go for 3-2 to Chelsea.
Okay.
What I had in my head was 2-2. I'm tempted to go 3-2 to Tottenham, but 2-2.
Yeah, that one at Stamford Bridge will definitely have goals.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
There's no way that will be 0-0. I mean, there's no way any of our games is going to be 0-0, but yeah, we'll score at Stamford Bridge, I think, Gary, but so will you, definitely, as well. The Arsenal game, I'm not sure. I can feel like it could be low scoring, but it could also end something like 4-2 to them or something as well. That's how it feels. All right, cheers, gents. Good stuff. Gary, anything you want to promote before we finish?
No, if you're going to follow me anywhere, follow me on Duolingo, at Gary Reza. Gary, R-E-Z-A.
Duolingo? All right.
Well, nobody else has ever done that, have they, on your podcast?
I've never heard of it.
Is Duolingo?
Is it better than Twitter?
Of course, it's a language learning app.
Clearly, my language is so perfect. I obviously don't need any lessons with any of
it's
that.
It's mainly for foreign languages, but they do English if you need that as well.
No, in seriousness, I struggle with English. So
you could learn Portuguese, mate, so you can speak with Suj.
Okay. Obrigado. Ricky, anything you want to promote before we go?
Just Patreon, obviously. Sign up, fellas. Well, you are probably signed up for listening to this, but sign up.
Cheers, buddy. Love you lots. Thank you both so much, guys. Suj will be back with me for the second part of the Game Week 34 review podcast tomorrow. Just sees me say, Gary, good luck Saturday. And next Thursday, Ricky, good luck, pal. Say it.
Come on, Tottenham.
Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.